You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into Locked On Grizzlies podcast, Monday edition of the show today. Lots to talk about as the Grizzlies make waiver cuts. The Grizzlies played their final few games in the preseason last week, but now it is the start of the regular season. It is a glorious day for all NBA fans as it starts tomorrow on Tuesday. So we're going to talk about the games they played last week. We're going to talk about some Jaren and some Ja moments. We'll also have our Monday mailbag segment in the last segment of the show today, like we do every single Monday. All that and more starts now. Monday edition of the show, always big shows. We're going to start something new on the show every single Monday. In the first segment of the show, it'll be our weekend roundup. We'll talk about everything that happened throughout the weekend, anything important that we need to know about, anything that was big news and notes for the Grizzlies throughout the weekend, every single Monday throughout the season. So we'll do that in the first segment. We'll talk about important things in the second segment as well. But just so you know, weekend roundup will happen first and foremost every single Monday show throughout this season going forward. If you're not already following the show, make sure you go follow the show on Twitter at LockedOnGrizz. Make sure you follow myself on Twitter at King_producer. That's where we'll continue the conversation after the show ends. Also, go ahead and subscribe to the show in every single platform that you choose, wherever you get your podcast, Spotify, Stitcher, Overcast, or Apple iTunes. If you're in Apple iTunes, go and leave a 5-star review, rate and review the show. It really helps out the iTunes rankings over there. So please go make sure you subscribe to the show so you don't miss any episodes. But first, the Grizzlies made their final roster cuts. Ivan Rabb and Miles Plumlee were the victims of those roster cuts, as we've been probably talking about for the last week and a half. I think most people probably understood that was going to be who it was, but nonetheless, it's official now. Ivan Rabb and Miles Plumlee. Ivan Rabb's kind of the surprise. I mean, I guess it's not a surprise. He was never really consistent enough in his offense, was never really consistent enough as a player to be on the court all the time. He was a good rebounder, above average rebounder quite often, but really never did enough to get on the court. And so you Grizzlies probably elect to choose Solomon Hill. Maybe he can provide some actual offense for you this year, but it's probably not about that for Solomon Hill. It's more about getting the match salaries there. It's probably having that $12.5 million still on the books. If they want to make a trade, it's going to be easier to include that for a bigger trade if you have a bigger money coming back. So Solomon Hill, I don't think he's any type of long-term. I don't think he's any type of long-term plan for this Grizzlies team. But his salary can be used to go ahead and trade for other players in the end, which is also why I thought they might go ahead and keep Miles Plumlee as well, just because of his salary reasons. I mean, Miles Plumlee is a terrible basketball player, as we have seen. I even said in this preview show a couple weeks ago, maybe a month ago now, about this Grizzlies team that I thought that Miles Plumlee would stay just for the lack of depth. And I think we'll talk about that more in the second segment of what this depth is going to look like for this Grizzlies team. But I thought they would keep him just for having a big body. They elect not to do that, and that's fine. Miles Plumlee is not a great basketball player. I think it's totally fine. He's easily the worst player on the court for that team. But that, or having his $12.5 million salary matching up for a larger contract purposes. So for all those people that hate Chandler Parsons, half of his contract is finally, it's not off the books yet, but his whatever you that remains is off the books. Whatever you have of Chandler Parsons remains off the books. So half of it anyway. So the other half of his Solomon Hill's contract, it'll still be on the books until the end of the year. But the visual representation of Chandler Parsons is gone from this Grizzlies team. I think probably a lot of people will rejoice in that. Other news and notes from the weekend, or from the, I guess this is probably going into last week a little bit, just because we didn't have any episodes in part of the last week, just because I was out of town with my family and some work, so I wasn't here. But I want to talk about Jaren Jackson Jr. His fouling is an issue. Him being on the court is an issue. Jaren has to learn how to stay on the court, period. End of story. that is something he has to do. He also has to understand that he is now the focal point of this offense. And so I think you get into a lot of a situation where Jaren just isn't ready for that. You get into a situation where now multiple defenders are coming at him from various directions. And now Jaren just isn't ready for that. Maybe he obviously had some turnovers were an issue in one of the games last week. So how he copes with being the focal point of the offense will be very interesting to see as we go into the regular season this week. But I don't think he was ready for it last week in the preseason. That's for sure, especially against a Charlotte team that was not really good at all. And so I think that's very important for him to understand that there are going to be multiple defenders coming at you from different angles. Last year, you had Marc Gasol and Mike Conley take the brunt of a lot of that, but that's gone. And I think that will change a little bit when Jonas Valanciunas comes back. If he comes back this week, I haven't heard one way or the other. We'll ask Amari Sankofa tomorrow when he joins us for his weekly show if he's heard anything about Jonas Valanciunas starting the year like he was supposed to for this Grizzlies team. But that will change a little bit when Jonas Valanciunas comes back, just for the simple fact that there will be other people to take a little bit of load off, the other people that the defense has to pay attention to besides just Jaren Jackson Jr. So that is something that I really thought was important to note, is that he is becoming a serious focal point of this Grizzlies team. And so as other defenses start to scheme and start to plan for him, that will change the way he's able to play and the way he's going to have to play. And fouling is a big issue for him. He also isn't ready to be a five. I know that a lot of people have said they want Jaren Jackson to be a center, or that is his long-term goal, or that is his long-term position in this league. And I just don't know if that's true. I've long said that I think he's probably a four, even long-term. I think he's probably a four. He, you know, is more of an Anthony Davis type of player, but I don't know if he can be a center. He definitely can't be a center right now. He's just not ready for it. Just can't do it. And so obviously that's going to change with Jonas Valanciunas coming back. But what they do as far as the backup big will be interesting, because you have Bruno Cabloco, who is not a five at all. Even you cannot get away with playing Bruno at the five. You're going to get killed. Even as this team is terrible, I think they're going to be bad. I don't even think you can do it then. But then you just have Bruno and Brandon Clark, and that's really all the bigs you have. And so Jaren, I think, will probably have to play some time at the five, just short term. I don't know if he's going to be able to get away with playing the four all the time. Maybe you start him at the four with Jonas, and maybe you bring Jonas out. He shifts to the five. I'm not sure how that's going to work. So that was going to be interesting to see how that big rotation shakes out in the early part of the year. And then they're always going to continue to search for what works and what doesn't work. So also, that's to be noted as well. Also, Ja Morant, still very, very good at passing the basketball. Not much has changed there. Still amazing. Having someone like Jaren being able to break down an offense and get inside the teeth of the defense just collapses the defense altogether. And then you have so many open shooters around you. So that's going to be huge. There's nothing really detriment. I just wanted to say that's awesome. Like it's so refreshing to see that being able, not that Mike Conley wasn't able to do that, but Jaren is, John's just he's a different type of player. He's a such good court vision, such an awesome passer that it is a very, very different type of player for Ja Morant than it was for Mike Conley. So that's interesting to note as well, other than the fact that he's just still awesome. I mean, I think his offense still has question marks, and I think that'll be a kind of something that you see all year long with Ja Morant, is how his offense continues to work. Did not take a lot of jumpers in the preseason. He will have to develop an offense, as we said on the show before. Point guards have to be offensive minded in this NBA. They have to be able to score the basketball. So he's going to have to find that groove in the NBA. But Ja Morant's offense, Jaren's ability to stay on the court, two very, very good storylines and things to take note of and to watch for this young Grizzlies team right away. Those are the things that are going to be your biggest concern for those two young players. Coming up, we'll talk more about this Grizzlies starting lineup possibly on Tuesday night, what it might be. A little more news and notes, as again, it's probably a little longer segment than we probably will normally do, but a little more news and notes. We'll talk about that coming up right after the break. Indochino is the world's largest made-to-measure menswear brand. Start your style upgrade now with $30 off your total purchase of $399 or more at Indochino.com when entering Locked On at checkout. Just enter promo code LOCKEDON at checkout to get $30 off your purchase of $399 or more. Continuing with our weekend roundup for this Grizzlies team, starting lineup, what that might look like on Wednesday as they start the regular season. Also, just noted, the Grizzlies tried out a Grayson Allen starter last week. Didn't go well. They changed the starting lineup away from Dylan Brooks. I thought that was strange. I don't know if that was the plan all along, but it's an interesting note. I don't think that will be the long-term solution. I still think that you'll probably have the starting lineup that you saw starting the preseason, but with that Brandon Clark coming off the bench and Jonas Valanciunas at the center position, if he's able to go. Again, that's up in the air with his health. If he's still, if that issue with his foot is still an issue, we'll know probably, and probably tomorrow we'll know more about what Jonas Valanciunas is looking like, what if he's going to play or not. So if he's able to go, I'd expect him to start at center. I would expect Jaren to start at four, Jay Crowder would be at the three, Dylan Brooks at the two, and Ja at the one. There are so many J names on this team. It gets me so confused all the time, I'm sure everybody else has the same problem. But Dylan Brooks, I thought was interesting. Note that they decided to get, bring him off the bench. He had a huge game against San Antonio, I believe. He played really, really well. Dylan Brooks was great at scoring the basketball, and I think ideally that's what you want him to do. His stat line was a little off. It was heavy on the point side, no assist. I believe it was no assist and no rebounds from recalling off the top of my head. And, you want Dylan to be able to make those plays, but he's also got to be able to play within the offense. And that's something that we talked about, I think, last week, was that Dylan's ability to play inside of the offense, but also knowing when to go and get those shots, knowing when to pull back and play a different type of game. I think it was more about just showing out and just showing the in a preseason game what he's able to do for this Grizzlies team. I'm not sure that's what you're going to get all the time from Dylan Brooks, but having that playmaker on the wing is something the Grizzlies they need so bad, and I think something that it will be missed quite often this year if he's not able to provide it on a night-in and night-out basis. I don't think he will be. I don't think it's going to be consistent. I hope it will be, but he's never shown it to be a consistent playmaking ability in this league, and so that's something that he will have to step up and do. I think he will obviously try to do that. It's his contract year, but will he do that to a fault? Will he do that to the detriment of the team is something that I think we'll continue to have to monitor and watch as Dylan Brooks moves forward. As far as Grayson Allen is concerned, I don't think he is a starting two guard, especially not now in this league. I think he's better suited coming off the bench, playing against, maybe inferior competition as far as backup, role players, backup guards go instead of starting guards. I think he's better suited coming off the bench, playing against more inferior competition, if you will, and being able to play a six-man type of role for this Grizzlies team. I think that's probably his best spot, if you will. That's the best way to say it. That's where he will, I think, thrive at the most. And so I think it'll be interesting to see what they're able to do. I mean, as the weeks go on, even especially in the first couple weeks, that rotation, as we talked about in the first segment, that rotation for the guards and the wings will be important. That rotation for the bigs will be important. And Taylor Jenkins will try to find a rotation that works for him. You'll probably see some changes in the first few weeks. You'll probably see different guys come out at different times, come in at different times. It will still be a work in progress for him as he figures out what he has in this team this year. But that will be what it is for the next few weeks, and maybe by December, maybe by November, in middle of November, maybe the beginning of December, he finds something that is working for him and is able to stick to night in and night out basis. I know that it really helps players when they know they're going in at a certain time, coming out at a certain time. That really helps them get ready for a game. So that I think that will be beneficial for this team as he's able to nail down rotations long term. Coming up next, we will do our Monday mailbag segment as we always do, and the last segment of the Monday show every single week. Let's talk about this Monday mailbag for this show today. Again, as we always do in the last segment of the show every single week. Go ahead and get those questions in. If you want to DM them to me, you can. Make sure you follow me on Twitter at King_producer. Follow the show on Twitter at LockedOnGrizz. You can DM those to me in either account. You can usually put out a tweet on Sundays to reply to this one with your questions. You can just simply reply to that tweet as well. You can email me at LockedOnGrizz@gmail.com as well. Any of those things work. Just make sure you get your questions in throughout the week, and I will answer them on Monday as best we can. We got quite a few questions this week. We'll just start off the top. This is from Twitter at MountainAdventure14. That's Dan. Should the Grizzlies trade for Buddy Hield? Would love to see his floor spacing in Memphis. There are several questions that are in this space of free agents and what they should do long term. I think that most people looking forward towards next season. The simple answer is they're not going to trade for Buddy Hield. He just signed a massive extension. I know this question was before that extension, but the simple answer is no. But the long term answer in the grand scheme of things, should they trade for someone like Buddy Hield and someone who can space the floor as a two guard? I'd say probably no, because what are they going to trade? What are they going to trade for someone like that? The only thing they really have now is picks. And so the reality is that do you want to trade your picks away? Do you want to keep them? I think they'll probably this front office will probably like to keep those picks. I don't think they're probably going to want to trade them. So that's a situation where I don't know if the Grizzlies have a lot of assets to give. I'm thinking, you know, maybe Dylan Brooks is an asset. If you feel like he's not doing what you want to do, he can become an asset for another team. I think he's a capable NBA player. Maybe Jay Crowder is an asset. But beyond that, for the Grizzlies, you know, maybe Kyle Anderson is an asset. And it just depends on how they view those players like Kyle Anderson and Dylan Brooks and Jonas Valanciunas and Jay Crowder. I think those are probably your expendable assets right there are those players. That are not really kind of young guys that are coming up. You know, Dylan Brooks is, but you know, does Jonas Valanciunas? He's probably your most sizable asset, or I guess your largest asset in terms of what you can get in return if you wanted to make a trade. But how does he stack up in terms of what they want to do long term? I don't know that, and so I would think they just signed Jonas Valanciunas to a large contract. I don't think though he's going to be going anywhere this year. You know, Jay Crowder could be someone that you look to trade. He has a potential to help a playoff team. So that's something I think you probably look at. Dylan Brooks as well. If he begins to play really well, but maybe they just don't like they don't like the way he fits, or they don't like the way he plays, or maybe he doesn't play well at all. And so there's a lot of questions there. You know, should they trade for someone like Buddy Hield? I think they'll probably be better served waiting it out. There are a lot of free agents, restricted free agents that are coming off the books this summer. You know, Buddy Hill was one of them, got his extension. But there are a lot of free agents coming up this summer that I think you'll be better served by waiting it out. Maybe you can get some secondary guys with some picks, or maybe with Jay Crowder, but I think you're better served waiting out until the offseason and making a big swing at somebody. This question comes from Morgan. What roster changes are you on the look for the throughout the season trades? This says, isn't it a risk waiting to sign a restricted free agent? Well, there's no risk there, really. You have to wait to sign a restricted free agent at the end of, in the offseason anyway. So there's no risk there at all. As far as roster changes, I kind of went through that just now. But again, you know, you're going to look to maybe potentially trade some guys like a Jay Crowder. Again, maybe a Dylan Brooks, maybe a Kyle Anderson. But, maybe Solomon Hill, he's more of a contract filler. Solomon Hill is a negative asset for you, not a positive asset. So, again, maybe you able to get him in a trade and that your salary, dumping salary. So, they should definitely be looking for other teams who are looking to dump salary. They're not going to be good this year. So if they want to take out more salary, kind of like what they did with Andre Iguodala and got a first round pick, they want to take out more salary. That's something they should be looking at. If they're able to free a little bit more money under the cap, they don't have a whole lot right now, but if they ever free up a little bit more, taking on bad contracts for picks is something they should be looking at doing. So I think that's probably the more likely trade you'll be looking at this year, or likely moves you'll be looking at this year, depending how the year goes. Now, the year could go completely different and that changes things. But right now, that's the probably deals you'll be looking at, is taking on bad salary for picks and maybe moving, again, Jay Crowder to a playoff team for some picks, and maybe a couple second rounders, or maybe a second rounder. Again, maybe moving Solomon Hill for a second rounder if you can. I don't know if you'll be able to, considering the negative value. But those are the type of deals I think the Grizzlies will probably try to look at for this Grizzlies team right now. Next in, things might change, but right now I think that's where they're at. Next question comes from Will Fogelman. I won't read the whole question. It is kind of in the same vein. Will ask about Buddy Hield and basically about free agents, restricted free agents. And his question really boils down to is what should you give a restricted free agent? And I want to talk about this for a minute just because I saw a lot of talk and chatter on Twitter.com this week and about what the Grizzlies are able to offer, what a player is worth, etc. What Buddy Hield is worth, what Jason Tatum is worth, what Malik Beasley is worth. It doesn't matter what they're worth. And I'll say like this, it doesn't matter what they're worth because it matters what you have to pay them. They could be, I don't think Buddy Hield, I don't think Jason Tatum's worth a max contract, but you're going to have to pay a max contract. Whatever you want restricted free agent, you can name any one of those top restricted free agents, and what you will have to pay them is a max contract. If you're the Grizzlies, what you have to pay them might be different for someone else, but if you want that player, if you want a Malik Beasley in your uniform next year, if you want a Jason Tatum in your uniform next year, you will have to pay them a max contract, plain and simple. It doesn't matter. You can name whatever, you can put any player out there that I just talked about, and it will be a max contract. Now, what they're worth, that might be different. That might be is a totally different conversation of what they're worth or what they should make. And it's totally different from what they are going to make. Because restricted free agency is very simple in the fact that it only takes one team. It only takes one team to screw it up for everybody else. And so you could be that one team. Maybe the market out there suggests that that Malik Beasley is not a max player. Maybe he, or that Jason Tatum is not a max player. I'm just using those names because that's who everybody's been talking about lately, are those restricted free agents coming up. Maybe you don't view that as a max contract. Maybe the market has not been viewing that. Other GMs are kind of, you know, talking, you kind of hear rumblings of what they're going, the offers are going to be. You know what? If you really want somebody, you got to offer them a max. If you want someone like that to come to your team, the motivation for players in this NBA is one, it's money above all. And two, it's winning. And the money is worth more to these younger players on their first big contracts than winning is. Plain and simple. It's why people, you see big free agents or restricted free agents go all the time to before maybe to Milwaukee or to the Kings or wherever because they want the money. And now as you get older in the NBA career, then maybe that winning, you've made a lot of money, maybe that winning starts to come up a little bit and that makes it a little bit more important. But at the end of the day, it's still about, they're trying to get paid the max amount of money for their value. They're trying to get paid as much as they can at their job, as they should be, as we all want to get paid as much as we can for our jobs. That is what they're trying to do. So if you go out there, what motivation do they have beyond money to come to the Grizzlies? It's a bad team. Yes, they have some young pieces, but they're not guaranteed to be good next year or guaranteed to be good next year with a loaded West, not even guaranteed to make the playoffs. So what's the value for them to come here and potentially be on a crappy team or a rebuilding team? The motivation is money. That's the motivation. So you can sub out any name you want to talk about, any name that people talk about on social media. You can have the conversation about what you should give them to anybody out there in the other media, you know, anybody out there that covers the Grizzlies like I do. You can have those conversations with them if you want. But it's pointless because what you will have to give them is a max deal, end of story, no matter what, if you want them at the Grizzlies. Last question for the Grizzlies, or last questions for this Monday mailbag as we get to, I know it's a little long, but I probably talked entirely too much about max contracts. It's just something that I think I've seen a lot of people talk about and probably are not real clear on what you are going to have to do to get one of those guys over here. But last question from Joe Utes on Twitter. In 3 years' time, who could or should be on this team and what do you expect their roles to be? Man, that's a loaded question because the only real true answers are Brandon Clark, John Morant, and Jaren Jackson Jr. If those three players aren't on this team in 3 years' time, I think they're probably something has gone extremely wrong. But think about this. The NBA is such a viable or such is a league that can be changed and so quick. Think about this. Last year at this time, we were talking about Marc Gasol and Mike Conley, what they could possibly do this year as they were aging in this Grizzlies franchise, what they could possibly bring if we talked about trading them, what could they bring back. And now you look forward to this year where they're not even here. They're not even being thought about. It's John Morant, Jaren Jackson, Brandon Clark, and the young guys. So I'd be hesitant to answer what other players besides those three guys should be on the team in 3 years, just because I think if you not have those three guys on the team, things have gone horribly, horribly wrong, because deals come to these teams all the time. Maybe you're not looking to trade Jonas Valanciunas, but someone wants to give you a lot for Jonas Valanciunas. They need a center for the playoffs. They need a center to win a championship, and they might offer to overpay you for Jonas Valanciunas. Well, guess what? You take the deal and you move on and you find a different center. So that kind of stuff happens all the time. This league can be remade, as we saw this year in free agency, so quickly. And just think about Dylan Brooks is the only person on this team from a couple years ago. Like, that's it. There's no other people. That Dylan Brooks is the longest tenured Grizzly player in his third season. He's played the most games and he missed most of the year last year. So think about that right there. And when you think about who's going to be in the future, or who is the future of this franchise for this Grizzlies team. I hope you guys enjoyed it today. We'll be back tomorrow with Amari Sankofa of The Athletic on his show every single Tuesday. We'll talk to him more about this Grizzlies team and what you would expect from the starting lineup, if he's heard anything about Jonas Valanciunas, all those questions and more coming up from Amari Sankofa tomorrow. If you've not already followed me on Twitter, go and do that at @King_producer. Follow the show on Twitter at @LockedOnGrizz so you don't miss anything. That's where we'll continue the conversation after the show. Also, make sure you go and subscribe to the show at whatever platform you choose, whether that's Spotify, Stitcher, Overcast, Apple iTunes, anything. Just make sure you subscribe so you don't miss a show every single day.